edition of the Maya Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Haley Gilley. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news, and the show starts with a look at California agricultural news. Seeking to prevent the California State Water Resources Control Board from stepping in to regulate groundwater in critically overdrafted subbasins, local agencies are working to correct deficiencies in their plans to protect groundwater. Last month, the Tulare Lake subbasin became the first subbasin in the state to be placed under probation. The State Water Board is set to consider probation for the Tule subbasin on September 17th. To limit the spread of highly pathogenic H5N1 avian influenza in livestock, all lactating dairy cows must test negative for the virus before they can cross state lines under new requirements by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The federal order, which took effect Monday, includes heifers, dry cows, and bull calves. Culled cows going into slaughter that do not show signs of illness also are not required to be tested, but they will still need a certificate of veterinary inspection or approval by animal health officials from the state sending the cattle and the state receiving them. State and federal water agencies last week announced additional allocations for farmers and other users, citing improving reservoir levels amid spring snowmelt. The U.S. Bureau of Reclamation said it is increasing promised water deliveries from the Central Valley Project for agricultural contractors south of the Sacramento-San Joaquin River Delta to 40% of requested supplies, up from 35% pledged last month. The California Department of Water Resources says it will increase water deliveries to 40% of requested supplies from the State Water Project, up from a pledge of 30%. The California Walnut Commission supports the recent announcements by the U.S. Department of Agriculture for the authorization of nuts and seeds to comprise the full meat alternative component of meals in the Food and Nutrition Service child nutrition programs. This follows the recent notice of the addition of the nut and seed butters, such as walnut butter, as alternatives to peanut butter and eggs in the Special Supplemental Nutritional Program for Women, Infants, and Children, WIC. The CWC believes these changes align more closely with the U.S. Dietary Guidelines for Americans and better promote nutrition security. Walnuts are an important component of a healthy diet for Americans and allow for broader access to food choices and nutrition. This is an important strategic step forward in providing increased access to California walnuts to both underserved and school-age populations. The California walnut industry applauds USDA for the FNS child nutrition and WIC program revisions and looks forward to supporting these food assistance efforts by providing high-quality, nutritious, and safe walnuts and walnut products for schools and the community participating in the WIC program. The U.S. Highbush Blueberry Council has launched the application process for the third class of its Blueberry Leadership Program that elevates up-and-coming leaders in the blueberry industry. The program will accept up to 10 talented, passionate professionals from across a supply chain to become the third group of fellows in the program. The training, which is the first of its kind in the blueberry industry, is designed to help fellows grow their leadership skill set, learn from decades-long industry leaders, and develop their network of connections. Professional development within the industry is a priority as members of the blueberry industry work together to make blueberries the number one berry in sales volume and premium value. Fellows in the program will lead the industry into its next period of growth. The California Almond Board reported a slight decrease in bearing acreage, the first since 1995. The analysis was commissioned by ABC to intelligence firm Land IQ and shows a less than 1% drop in productive acres. While the bearing acreage drop may be small, it marks the first time in decades that bearing acreage has not increased, according to numbers issued previously by the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. The report looked at bearing acreage in orchards planted before 2022 that have matured enough to produce a crop for the upcoming 2024 harvest. It estimated that bearing almond orchards at harvest will cover 1.373 million acres across California, a decrease of about 600 acres. Additionally, Land IQ estimates that approximately 71,000 acres of orchards will be removed by the end of the crop year. This will add to the 83,000 acres removed in the 2023-24 crop year. According to the firm's last November estimate, the California almond season is underway, with the sector shipping its fall harvest to international markets. Production is estimated at 2.437 million pounds for the present season, approximately 6% down year on year. California Citrus Mutual commends Chairwoman Stabenow of the Senate Agricultural Committee and Chairman Glenn Thompson from the House Agriculture Committee for prioritizing the citrus industry's fight against Huanglongbing, HLB, and each of their frameworks for the 2024 Farm Bill. Each chair's framework continues support of the Emergency Citrus Disease Research and Extension Program at $25 million per year for the life of the Farm Bill. The $25 million in funding will go to the U.S. Department of Agriculture National Institute of Food and Agriculture, NIFA, to fund research and find a cure for HLB. The funding is overseen by grower representatives from California, Texas, and Florida. This is a big win for the citrus industry as there were significant headwinds with the current fiscal battles in Washington, D.C., including escalating Farm Bill baseline expenditures and competing priorities within agriculture. It proves the strength of the advocacy partnership with Florida and Texas Citrus Mutuals, in addition to the strong support received from allied industry organizations.
By partnering with JCS Marketing Incorporated, your company can achieve 3.5 million impressions to growers, consultants, and industry professionals annually. Our comprehensive media suite, which includes prestigious publications as well as dynamic websites, targeted emails, engaging podcasts, and premier trade shows, provides a strategic platform for targeting key decision makers. This approach can amplify your company's visibility to a specific audience and fosters meaningful connections, positioning your brand at the forefront of the agricultural community. Don't wait for success to come to you. Call our office today at 559-352-4456. That's 559-352-4456.
On the heels of its partnership with Novonesis to advance Evoca NG, agtech company BioTalus has announced the initiation of field trials for BioFund 6. It's the company's second biofungicide program under development on its AgriBody technology platform. BioTalus Chief Scientific Officer Carlo Bouton said BioFund 6 is the next most advanced biofungicide program after its Evoca and Evoca NG programs.
It is aimed first to have a broader spectrum than Evoca, broader pathogen spectrum than Evoca, by targeting botrytis, powdery mildew, but also anthracnosis in food and vegetables. And second, it's also aimed to have a higher efficacy. The program currently is passing the final stages of the discovery phases, and one lead molecule, as you suggested, as you said, is ready to be tested in field trials as of May, so as we speak, as of May this year.
Field trials for BioFund 6 will take place within 15 various climate zones in Europe, according to Bouton.
We will assess whether the BioFund 6 lead candidate indeed has an improved efficacy versus Evoca. So all lab experiments that we have done so far indicate that the candidate that we have selected is more efficacious. And with the field trials, we want to see this proven in the field, of course. We'll do trials on botrytis in grapes and also some tests and some trials on tomatoes.
As the trial moves forward, key areas of focus will be to determine the performance of BioFund 6 through multiple areas of circumstances.
Like climate, soil type, grape type also, disease, etc. And we will do this simultaneously in about 15 trials spread over different zones in Europe. So we're talking about the maritime and the Mediterranean climate zones. All trials will have the same setup in terms of dosing, number of plots, repetitions. And we will collect results and do statistical analysis to hope to learn about the performance of the product by the end of this year. So all trials are happening in Europe, and we hope to conclude by the end of this year.
Since new modes of action take substantial time and money to come to fruition, the significance of BioTalus entering a product into a trial is a positive step to give growers more options for disease control.
It shows that we are on a path of continuous evolution, whereby we believe we can deliver new and transformative products to the market for the many years to come. We believe that BioFund 6 fits in that role, and it validates this strategy. As early indications lead us to believe it is a step change improvement versus Evoca or Evoca NG. So BioFund 6 is really our next step after Evoca. And as we further building our pipeline, more programs will follow later on. So it's really a good evolution of the pipeline of BioTalus.
For MyAgLife, this is Kristen Platts.
By partnering with JCS Marketing Incorporated, your company can achieve 3.5 million impressions to growers, consultants, and industry professionals annually. Our comprehensive media suite, which includes prestigious publications as well as dynamic websites, targeted emails, engaging podcasts, and premier trade shows, provides a strategic platform for targeting key decision makers. This approach can amplify your company's visibility to a specific audience and fosters meaningful connections, positioning your brand at the forefront of the agricultural community. Don't wait for success to come to you. Call our office today at 559-352-4456. That's 559-352-4456.
The United Nations declared 2026 as the International Year of the Woman Farmer after Deputy Secretary Torres Small introduced the resolution on the General Assembly floor in New York City. Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs, Alexis Taylor, was also in attendance for this momentous occasion. The resolution in the U.S. government's efforts to generate support for it was spearheaded by USDA and garnered 123 UN co-sponsor nations, underscoring the global importance of uplifting women throughout the agricultural sector. The worldwide observance will call attention to the vital role that women play in global food and agricultural production. It will also raise global awareness of the unique challenges women in agriculture face, catalyze action to help address those challenges, and support many of the UN's sustainable developmental goals, including those focused on gender equity, food security, and poverty. Secretary Vilsack was at a lock-in dam on the Upper Mississippi River, where he was joined by Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski and Assistant Secretary of Army Civil Works Michael L. Connor to highlight the Biden-Harris administration's record investments in infrastructure that are vital to getting the products grown and raised by America's farmers, ranchers, and producers to market efficiently and price competitively. While there, he highlighted other efforts to help U.S. agricultural exporters and producers strengthen their presence in existing markets and open new market opportunities around the world, as well as strengthen local and regional supply chains in the states, along the Mississippi River, and across the country. What is the update regarding cargo shipments and channel restoration over a month after a bridge collapse impeded cargo traffic to and from the Port of Baltimore? Rod Bain reports.
Late March, the dramatic collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge at the entrance to the Port of Baltimore.
The Army Corps of Engineers is on the spot and is going to help lead this effort to clear the channel.
This is an important port for both imports and exports, which is important for farm equipment.
President Joe Biden and Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, respectively, at the initial White House press conference shortly after the incident. Various contingency plans were enacted to divert ship cargo traffic to other ports. Cargo with goods such as farm equipment and commodities like sugar and soybeans. All while partners worked to clear the channel to resume transport of product. Regarding those efforts and what has transpired to date, a place to start is channel restoration. U.S. Trade Representative's Office Chief Agricultural Negotiator Doug McCaleb provided this late April update to farm broadcasters.
11-foot channel come online about 2 weeks after the accident, a 14-foot channel just south of the wreckage come online.
Plus, a temporary 35-foot deep channel, allowing for larger cargo ship traffic briefly, before debris removal efforts focused on that specific path.
The goal is, by the end of May, to have two-way traffic 50 foot deep, able to accommodate two-way vessel traffic.
Regarding impacts to various aspects of the ag sector, Darren Kopic of the Agricultural Retailers Association says for farm equipment such as combines and implements usually delivered at the Port of Baltimore.
We're told that most of that freight has been diverted or is otherwise not delayed to the extent that people thought it might be.
Then there are various commodities. In fact, within the port is a major sugar processor and distributor. As Luther Marquardt of the American Sugar Alliance explains regarding the commodity his organization represents.
There were two ships that were in and just had unloaded, so they had an inventory of 6 to 8 weeks, and then they were able to float some barges in that don't need the deep water channels, and they were able to get those in, and they just brought in a ship that was brought in the existing channel. We don't need the 50-foot deep one. So there was never a problem or disruption in taking care of customers.
Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Farmers are invited to submit nominations for the 2025 Farm Bureau Farm Dog of the Year contest, which comes with cash prizes and bragging rights. This is the seventh year of the contest, supported by Nestle Purina Pet Care, which celebrates farm dogs and the many ways they support farmers and ranchers. The grand prize winner, Farm Bureau Farm Dog of the Year, will win a year's worth of Purina Pro Plan dog food and $5,000 in prize money. The winner will be recognized at a Farm Dog of the Year award ceremony at the American Farm Bureau Convention in San Antonio in January 2025. Fresh Del Monte Produce is introducing Ruby Glow pineapples to the U.S. market after an initial January launch in China that prompted a global waitlist. Featuring a deep red outer shell, bright yellow flesh, and a distinct sweet flavor, Ruby Glow pineapples are a new variety of the tropical fruit and the most exclusive, high-end pineapple offered by Fresh Del Monte. The pineapples will be available nationwide through select regional grocers and online from specialty produce retailers. Offered as an ultra-premium luxury designer fruit that appeals to high-end consumers, Ruby Glow pineapples expand the company's lineup of innovative pineapples.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcast, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Reports. I'm Haley Gilley. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.